Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I have good news for you. On Monday night, I talked about this being a fabulous time of year. This is a great time of year because Christianity is celebrating Easter. And Easter, by the way, is a pagan holiday. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. But the Christians love to celebrate it. And they, of course, do it because it was the resurrection of this person that they called Jesus. But the good news is tonight, during this period, when resurrection is going on, when rebirth is going on, the thing to remember is that the stone has been rolled away. And what do I mean by the stone has been rolled away? The stone on the tomb that you and I and everyone has put ourselves into has been rolled away. This is the time of year to remember that. When we use that expression, the stone has been rolled away, that means you may change your mind now. You may change your mind about yourself. Don't keep yourself in that tomb that you have put yourself in and with the stone in front of it so that you are locked in to some type of box, so that you're locked into some type of particular thinking. And that particular thinking comes from what? Your belief system. It comes from your attitudes. It comes from your viewpoints. So in this time of year, it's good to remember that the stone has been rolled away. Many people know that during this season. And as soon as this season is over, they put the stone right back on. So the big thing about this season is the new life that is waiting for you. And we celebrate that. When I was a child, we celebrated that not only by going to church on Easter. We bought new clothes. We changed ourselves. We became new in some way. And that's what this whole season is about, whether it belongs to the pagans, the Christians, or whoever it belongs to. Nature itself at this time is completely renewing itself. All the things that have rusted over the winter are now starting to sprout into new growth, new blooms, the whole thing. So remember that about your own mind and your own consciousness, that you can come out of this tomb that you have put yourself into. What are some of the things that you put yourself into? The problems that you're having. That is a tomb that you have put yourself into. So any problem that you're having, realize that there's no longer a stone keeping you in that situation. That this thing that we call God has removed that stone. That stone is now gone. So you can learn to think differently. And you can learn to think differently about yourself. Think differently about yourself. And finally, make up your mind that this is the time of year that you will say to yourself, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. And know that that is absolutely true. And continue using it throughout the year instead of just bringing these things out on special occasions. You can change anything in your life when you change your mind. There is no such thing as a permanent problem. There is no such thing as anything that's permanent. Everything is coming and going and moving and shifting. Everything is energy of some sort. So, in your own life, look and see where you have placed a stone, where you have placed a boundary up in front of yourself that you cannot move forward. And it is always going to be your thinking. It's always going to be your thinking that's holding you back. No problem is that big that it cannot be solved. No problem is that big that it cannot be solved. And that's relationships, that's health, that's finances. Whatever you think your problem is, rethink. Remove the stone that you have there, encased, so that you can come out of this tomb. Remember what Rumi said. Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? We put ourselves in prison. There is no jailer ever but your own self. No jailer ever but your own self. And it's your thinking. So let's learn to think better about ourselves in this season and continue to think better about ourselves so that we know that we're totally lovable, that we matter, that we're worthy, and that we're deserving. We must know these things. And if something's in front of there keeping you from knowing that about yourself, now is the time to know that that has been moved away, so that you can now step out in new life, in new thought. That's what this whole season's about. This whole season's about new life. Many times I've told you, God does not repair things. God makes all things new. God makes all things new. Now it's time to remember that and make yourself new. Make yourself new. Give up the ideas you have about yourself that aren't working. Give up the past. Don't drag the past with you any longer. There is no value in that whatsoever. You can never change the past. You can change your thinking about the past, and you can change the emotional impact that the past had on you. But you cannot change the past. And you're the one who has to decide. You're the one who has to decide how the past is going to affect you. How is it going to affect you? It has no power whatsoever. All power is in the present moment, never in the past. But when we allow our mind to go back and drag that forward, then we say, oh, I'm this way because of what I did back there. You are not that. You are made new every moment. Every moment you are made new. And this is the time of the year to remember that. To remember that. By the young man today, something happened in his life, and he said, I wonder if that's the cause. I said, you know, you can make it anything you want. Your mind always wants to come up with a cause. So if you come up with a bad cause that's causing you something, why don't you change that cause yourself? Why don't you change that? Years ago, they did a study of twins. The one twin became an alcoholic, and the other twin did not become an alcoholic. And they interviewed them, and they said to the alcoholic, why did you become an alcoholic? He said, well, I watched my father drinking, and I knew perfectly well that I would become an alcoholic. The other one said, I watched my father drinking and made up my mind that I would not become an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And made up my mind. It's choice. Every time it's choice. Mm-hmm. So yes, some of the things that happened to you may have been horrendous. But do you want to keep that going on and on and on in your life and keeping you from where you want to go and keeping you from having what you want and always blaming it on something that happened in the past and say, I'm this way because of that? You're this way because of the way you're thinking about yourself. And you can change that every moment. Every moment you can change that about yourself. So know that. Know that this is the time to come out of the tomb and let that stone be rolled away and not roll it back up again. Let it go so that you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And with that, let's do the matter dance.
The matter dance. The matter dance.
Just follow it. No, nothing complicated.
Like dancing with a star. We're doing the mambo, honey.
Okay. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter.
Yay!
Yay!
Woohoo!
We got some rocking going on.
So this is a wonderful time of year to remember these things. We have to do that for ourselves. You're the one who has to change your thinking. I cannot change your thinking for you. The same way I cannot eat for you. I cannot change your thinking. I can put all these things out in front of you. And now it's up to you to do something about them. But don't allow your mind to talk you out of things. Don't allow your mind to talk you out of things. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Remember that. And start to control your mind. Start to be able to think the thoughts that you want to think. The thoughts that you want to think about yourself. So that you realize that you are a wonderful human being. That you are a wonderful human being. And that you are here on this plane of action to enjoy it, to have fun, to be happy. Now, isn't that something? Fun, enjoy, and be happy. That's what we are here for. We are not here for the stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice that you have been taught. Not so. This same young man that was today was a client, teaches first grade. And he said, two of his students, and I said, how old are they? And he said, seven. Got into a fight about Jesus and about religion. Because the one little girl said, Jesus died for our sins. And the other one said, no, he didn't either. He died because people didn't like him. And then he said it really got heated, and he had to separate them and explain it to them. And the little girl who was Catholic, the one little girl said, but my priest said, if I don't love Jesus, I'll go to hell.
Wonderful.
I'll go to hell. 7 years old, and they're already conditioned. 7 years old, and they're already thinking about such things. That is no way to go through life. That's a horrible thing to do to children. You've been in Agape, so you know that we only teach unity here. We do not teach separation. We do not believe in hell. We do not believe in the devil. We only believe in one power, and that power is the power for good, and that power we choose to call God. You can call it Harry, Henry, or anything, but we just choose to call it God. You may call it whatever you wish, but we never teach separation. To have heaven and hell would be separation. And we do not do that because we knew that we're one with God. We are not one with the devil. We are not one with the devil. We were talking earlier about how we are conditioned. Not only do our parents condition us, all institutions condition us, and churches certainly condition us. And then we have what we call the world out there, or race mind, or collective consciousness. And it tries to condition us too, because we're always living in some thought atmosphere. And what is the thought atmosphere of the day, or the year, or the century? And we live in that thought atmosphere. So we have to pay attention to what's coming into our minds, and to what's going on. Otherwise, we go right down the line with the other people. And this thing of teaching young kids already that they'll go to hell is absolutely frightening. It's absolutely frightening. So think of those things in your own life. Start to question things and start to question your own thinking. It's not sacred, people. It is not sacred. Your mind can change. And God's not going to hit you for changing your mind or for thinking something different that you didn't think when you were a child, or when you start to think differently than your parents. When you start to think differently than your parents. If you don't learn to think for yourself and you're thinking all the thoughts of other people, then you are not living your life, but you're living their life. Then you're not living your life. So you always have to sit down and say to yourself, who's running my life? Am I running my life? Is the world running my life? Is my past running my life? My parents, who is running your life? And it has, the answer has to be, I'm running my life with my own thinking. But people hand us different thoughts and we take them right in instead of questioning them. That's why people, when you ask people, what religion are you? Well, I'm a Lutheran. Why are you Lutheran? My parents are a Lutheran. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Did you pick and choose? Did you investigate this yourself? No. The other thing that most people do is they stay with the same politics that their parents had. We've always been Democrats in this family. We've always been Republicans. Instead of learning to think for yourself. Learn to think for yourself. And don't give your authority away to other people, which we love to do. I don't know if it's because we're afraid of our own thinking, we don't think we're smart enough, or if we're just downright lazy. But we always, I don't know the answer to that, I'll ask an authority. And the authority says something to you, and you say, oh, it must be right, he's an authority. How do you know that he's an authority? Because he's got a diploma and a title. Could be wrong, you know. He could be wrong. But we say, oh, and we never give it another thought. And we go right down the tubes with these people. So learn to think for yourself. The whole idea in life is to learn to think for yourself. And here's the most amazing thing. You can think anything you want. You can think anything you want. It can be absolutely bizarre. It can be erotic. It can be anything. But you're allowed to think. So use your mind. You're allowed to think anything you want to think. And then you decide, do I want to continue thinking that? Do I want to think something different? And that's how you build your own life. That's how you build your own thinking. Otherwise, you're just regurgitating everything that everybody else has told you all your life. Just regurgitating. I knew tons of people who read the newspaper and then they just regurgitate back everything that the newspaper says and they think, oh, I'm very intelligent because I know all this stuff. Well, most of it's twaddle anyway in the newspaper. There's not a word of truth ever printed in the newspaper. Even the New York Times, which says we only print the truth or whatever the little slogan used to be, is not true. There's no truth in a newspaper. They're all facts. They're all facts. They never. And people say, oh, it must be true. It was in the newspaper. No. No. Facts are the only things that are in newspapers. Facts. And facts change. And facts change. So learn to think for yourself. Learn to think for yourself. And see where it's coming from. Thing that happened. Anything. Please. Give up anything that happened to you in the past. Give up anything that happened to you in the past. When the stone is rolled away and you walk out of the tomb, leave the past behind. Leave the past behind. That's why it says in the Bible, let the dead bury the dead. That stuff is dead. That stuff is gone. Don't keep resurrecting that, people. Because it won't bring you any happiness whatsoever. You just stew it over and stew it over and build it up bigger and bigger and get more angry with it. And it's not going to serve you. It's not going to get you where you want to go. It's not going to make you happy. You see, it's not going to make you happy. There is no reason in the world to be happy. You just have to be happy. If you're waiting for a reason to be happy, and I take that reason away from you, now what's going to happen to you?
You'll be happy.
You're not going to be happy because the reason's gone. Never look for a reason to be happy. Just be happy. Just be happy. Works every time. You don't have to give a reason. Why are you so happy? Huh? Just happy. Thank you very much. I don't have to. You don't have to give reasons for things. Your mind want you to think, oh, I have to be happy because of this, that, and the other thing. No. Happiness is a state of being. It's like bliss. You just are those things. You just are those things. For no reason whatsoever. For no reason. Isn't that wonderful? You're just those things. Just those things. Okay. With that, let's do a spiritual mind training. Let's know this. We're connected with the only power there is, and that power is a power for good, and that power is certainly abundant and prosperous. And since we are one with that power, we can use that power. We can make this thing we call God a useful. We can use God for everything in our life. And right here and right now, we use God to open our minds to all possibilities. To all possibilities for abundance and prosperity and money. And we see that. We feel that. And we become that. And money flows to us from every channel in the universe. And we let that be so. And so it is.
So it is.
The title of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. So I always have to throw money in there, or these people won't come. Okay? But a lot of people have made money since they've come here. Have you made more money since you've come here?
Yeah.
You made, paid off $20,000, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Now I'm on my next cycle.
Yeah? Don't use that word.
Next cycle?
Yes.
Or next?
Either.
All right.
Always freely circulating in my life. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get into a cycle, you're going to get into a cycle. You see. You want your life to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
Not, oh, now I'm at the top. Now
I'm
at
the
bottom.
Level.
Now I'm at the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't use that. Very bad word to use in metaphysics, cycles. Because what does that immediately say to everybody's mind when I use the word cycle? It means you're going to go up and down. See?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I'm here. Thank
okay.
I said corrected.
Yeah. No. I watch language. Because word structure thought. And I can tell when people are not getting what they want, all you have to do is listen to their language.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you hear their language, I can figure out why they're not getting what they want. Because every word structures thought. That's the only way we can think. You can't think without words. Otherwise, you wouldn't be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to choose your words. You have to choose your vocabulary. And I have learned to get rid of words that are useless. And I've learned to get rid of words which give a poor image to my mind. You just eliminate those from your vocabulary. And you'll see all the difference in your life when you do that. You're saying, that's yours is, young lady.
Yes.
Stop saying nipping at your heels.
Oh, well, I was being polite.
You weren't being polite. You weren't being polite.
But since I came to your class in Burbank, I've gotten work.
Yeah, it's good.
It's opened my consciousness a bit wider.
Good. Well, now let's really open it.
Right.
And now we're going to get rid of nipping at the heels.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
That's a very bad image to have.
Yeah.
Dogs nipping at your heels.
Yeah, because that says that the wolf is at the door.
Yes.
Which
or
is these always
at the back door coming.
Yeah. Absolutely. But
that does it. Yeah, go ahead.
She's filming a Desperate Housewives episode, and she's up for a Miracle Whip commercial that I told her tonight she's got.
Yes. Yes.
So.
I had a question. Is this the time for questions?
Well, you may ask a question at any time, yes.
Oh, well, you spoke of healing emotional scars that have troubled us in the past. Just how do you do that?
By doing it.
I
like
understand.
Nike. Like I like Nike.
Just do it.
Oh. You see, the world has convinced you that you have to hold on to mm-hmm. emotional scars, that they mean something to you.
Yeah.
And if you go out and ask 10 people out there, 9 of them will tell you, no, you must hold on to that because that's very mm-hmm. important. And that has made you the way you are, and I would certainly. Carolyn Mace calls it woundology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You always have to go through the wound to come up to the present.
Right.
Well, you don't want to do that, do you? That takes a lot of time, and it's very boring.
Yeah, and painful, sure.
Yes.
Not necessary?
It's not necessary. You don't have to hold on to anything. You don't have to hold on to anything.
Is that why it's like that thing, oh, I need closure. What is that?
There is no such thing as closure, people.
Oh, okay.
They love to tell you that there's closure. You cannot have closure. If you realize that life goes on forever, there is no beginning, there is no end. It continues. People say, oh, you have to have closure on that. Why? There's no such thing as closure. No.
Bless it, release it, and let it.
Love it.
Love it.
Bless it and release it.
Let it go.
Let it go. Because it's not helping you.
No.
It's not helping you at all. This is what I mean by controlling your mind and controlling the thoughts. Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. Yes, those things have gone on. But they're not going to bother you. Rose in our class. 80-something mm-hmm. was in a concentration camp. She never mentions it. And when you ask her, she says, what was. Mm-hmm. What was. And she smiles and wonderful woman, right? And that we can learn from people like that.
Right.
You know?
My grandmother, well, she's not alive anymore, but when she was born in Minsk in Russia, back in the time of the pogroms and stuff like that. And a couple of times when she was alive, I asked her, what it was like. And she says, why would I want to talk about it? It was a bad time. Yeah. She just wouldn't even bring it up. She wouldn't discuss it.
Yes. I don't think it's, metaphysically, it's not a very good thing to do, because they say, the slogan is, never forget. You know, never forget the Holocaust. Otherwise, it will repeat itself. I'm saying you keep remembering it, it will repeat itself. Everything that goes on in this world, everything that you see in this world, is from our consciousness. We are causing everything that's going on in this world because we have a collective consciousness mm-hmm. that creates this. If our consciousness, if our collective consciousness saw everyone as themselves and loved themselves and loved everybody else, there would be no war. There would be none of this stuff. But we cause separation with our thinking, and we say them and us. Mm. Them and us. And we get into all these situations because of scarcity. They have the oil, we don't have the oil. They have that, we have to have what they have. We have to get what they have. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. So that's in race mind. And that's why it continues. What is the other race mind? Believe in Jesus or you'll go to hell. You're 7 years old. Now you're raised. The Catholic Church has a little slogan. They're not, I don't think they post it anywhere, but it is. Give me a child to the age of 5 and they will be mine forever. Give me a child mm-hmm. to the age of 5. Your first 5 years of life are the most impressionable mm-hmm. years that you have. You soak mm-hmm. everything up like a sponge. And you remember all those things. By the age of 5, you have decided how much money you're going to make, where you're going to live, who you're going to marry. All the major decisions in your life are made at those early ages, before you were emotionally ready to make them, and before you were physically ready to make them. Emotionally, mentally, and physically, you were not ready to make the decisions that you made. Now you have made those decisions and they have become a belief system. And they're called guiding beliefs or core beliefs. We'll call them guiding beliefs because they guide you to where you want to go. Because if you believe, I'm only going to make this much or I'm only going to do that in life, that's as far as you're going to go because that belief is guiding you to that. Now, what happens is you get to our age and you're still, those belief systems are still working and your life is not working out the way it's supposed to work out. Why? Because you made a map at the age of 5 and now you're looking at that map and everything has changed and you can't find your way. If I gave you a map of Los Angeles that was 100 years old, could you find your way through town? Yeah. No. But that's what you're doing with your life. You're reading the wrong map. You have to change your map. You have to go back and think, what decisions did I make? And that's an easy thing to figure out. If you're not getting what you want out of life, you say, I want $100,000, but I'm only making 20 at the present moment. And you can't seem to get past that. Now you know you made a decision because maybe when you decided that $20,000 was a lot of money. I remember when I was in college, I thought, oh, if I make $10,000 a year, I'll be the richest person in the world. I'll be able to give money. I'll be able to do this, 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 and this. Because when I graduated from college, they said, you could become a school teacher, Dallas, and the average salary is $4,900 a year. But if you really, what they really want you, you could maybe get $5,200 a year. $5,200 a year. So if you have that still in your mind, money, you can see that you're not. You're reading the wrong map. So any time that you're not getting what you want, just say, whoops, I must have the wrong map. And start making a different map for yourself. That's all. You made the first one. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. And you'll make a new one. Look how the world has changed since we've grown up. Look at all the countries we used to have, and look at all the countries we don't have, and then look at all the new countries that I don't even know where they are anymore. So if I had an old map, would I be able to find any of these places? I doubt it. You see? Life is very easy. Life is very simple once you realize what happened to you. And you just took all this stuff in thinking you watched everybody else, and everybody else was doing it. So now you just forgive yourself and say, oops, I made the wrong map. I just made the wrong map. And things change. Things will change for you. Changing this little thing that we think with, this mind, we just have to change it. But the main thing always is, you have to know that you matter. You have to know that you're worth it. You have to know that. That you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. Totally lovable. Many people can get the matter and the worthy, but cannot get the lovable. And most people cannot get the idea that they matter. That they really matter. And each and every one of us matters. And we matter to this thing called God. But this thing called God would be incomplete without us. Would just be incomplete. So know that about yourself. That you're needed, that you're wanted, that you're appreciated. And then it will happen. We must always become what we want. We must always become what we want. If you want a relationship, then you must become that relationship. What does that mean? You must learn to fall in love with yourself and really like yourself. You must become what you want. Money, you must become your money. You must become your job, whatever you want. How does an actor become an actor? You work on it. You really want that, and then you become an actor. We're always becoming what we want. That's how it works. And that's an easy thing, too. So become what you want, not outside of yourself anymore. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So race mind, very powerful out there. You have to listen to and hear what's going on and then decide what you want to do with that information. But don't let race line just take you down the tubes, which it will. It will take you down the tubes. I got an email today from a friend of mine who said, I think you would like this. And I thought, now you know perfectly well I won't like this. But it was funny, you see. And many people think that funny, it's all right if something's funny. But funny disguises race mind very cleverly. And we all laugh and we think, oh, that was very funny. Now here it was, and I'll try to remember. It was about Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews gave a talk at AARP in New York. And she sang, these are a few of my favorite things. But she changed the lyrics for people, elderly people, senior citizens, that's what they're called. Senior citizens. So it was wheelchairs and walkers and bunion pads and da-da-da-da to the tune. Oh. The whole way down the line. Broken hips and this and that and da-da-da-da-dee-da-da. Now, very clever. And the audience gave her a 4-minute standing ovation. And she repeated it because of the ovation. I'm sure, I don't know how many people were there. They all thought that was funny. They all applauded and they all walked out of the door. Oh, isn't that fun? You cannot do that to yourself. That is complete race mind. Yes, funny, but complete race mind. Because now it's told all those senior citizens, this is what to expect as you get older. Your hips are going to go, this is going to go, you're going to wear bunion pants or whatever. It was, that was one of the things, bunion pants on the thing. Mm-hmm. It was, I want to. That's race mind. And it's disguised as funny. And we love to make little jokes. The worst one that I hear all the time, oh, I'm having a senior moment. Sooner you can't think of something, you make fun. You think, oh, that's a senior moment. Don't do that to yourself. Your mind hears that, and you'll start having senior moments. Mm-hmm. I always say to my mind, I have a wonderful memory. I remember everything. I can recall things quickly and easily. And I usually do. I get stuck every once in a while, but it'll come. I'll make it come. You may hear me grunt, but I can find it and pull it up. But I don't sit there and say, oh, senior moment, go on, forget about it. I never use those terms. Word, structure, thought. And this thing that we're talking to is the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind cannot take a joke. And it does not know that you don't want that. So it immediately takes it in and says, oh, well, that's what they want, a senior moment. We'll give them more senior moments. We'll give them more of this. We'll give them more of that. That's why you listen to what you're saying, and that's why you listen to what people are saying. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you see. With that idea of Julie Andrews and so forth, people see other people age. They see other people get things. And they say, oh, well, that's what happens as you age. And they follow those examples. We're all models for somebody. We're all modeling for somebody. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to model something like that to people. I don't want to do that. But there was a whole audience that thought that was funny. And they're probably all home tonight putting bunion pads on or something. And say, wasn't that funny? See, this is so. We make our realities come true. We make our realities come true. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't do that, and I have wonderful examples. I have my Aunt Catherine's going to turn 95. She's still in perfect health, keeps her own house, does everything for herself. The only thing she did was give up driving, but she never liked to drive anyway. So she gave that driving up. She had a cousin who lived to be 102. And that cousin was not sick one day in her life. 2 weeks before she died, she said to her daughter, I'm getting tired. And the daughter said she's stopped eating a lot of food and drink. And then finally she passed away in her sleep. Wonderful way to go. But here is the most amazing thing about that woman. The daughter said to me, you know, mother never took a prescription drug in her life. Mm-hmm. Never took a prescription drug in her life. You don't have to take them. You don't have to take them. But Ray's mind out there wants to tell you that something is falling apart about you as you sit here. Your body is turning on you. Your body is yours. You are not your body. And the body must always follow the mind. The body must always follow the mind. So, if you tell the mind, oh, I'm so tired, oh, I'm so tired, that is what you're going to get. If you tell the body, I'm loaded with vitality, health, and strength, that is what you're going to get. You're the one that's doing it. The body must swallow the mind. But we get caught in these things. Race mind. Don't do it. Don't let yourself do it. We age because we see other people aging. And we think that that is normal. They did an experiment in Boston. A psychiatrist took, I think it was 12 or 14 people in their 70s to a weekend home. And in that home, it was a 50s home. Everything was 50s. The music on the radio, the news on the radio, the television, everything was 50s. After the weekend, those people all looked younger and felt better and felt younger. Time is nothing. Time is nothing. We're convinced that time is passing. Time is not passing people. We're passing through time. We're just passing through time. Don't let it age you while you're doing it. Don't let it do that. There's no reason for any of that. Okay? Tonight's topic. I finally get around. Tonight's topic is instrument. And what do I mean by instrument? Not that we're not always an instrument of this thing that we call God. Because there's no other way that we could not be. But we can become better instruments. We can become better instruments for this power to work through us. For this power to work through us. And how would we go about that? We'd go about that by changing our concepts, by changing our minds, that this cannot be done. You know, this thing called God is always working in, as, and through you. But it's very difficult for God to work in, as, and through negativity. Very hard for God to work through negativity. Our bodies, our minds, were not developed to do negativity. You know, you can run a car very well on gasoline and it just goes along nice and smoothly. But if you put kerosene in it, it will run, but it'll jerk and carry on and spit and sputter. That's the same thing that happens when you pass negativity constantly through your mind. When you pass that through your mind, your body starts to feel the effects of that. And it's not a clear instrument for this thing that we call God to operate through. just doesn't work well. So just say to yourself, I'm becoming a clearer, better instrument for this thing to work through, for this power to work through. And I'm doing that by changing my mind and changing my mind about myself. And then start changing your mind about yourself. Start by forgiving yourself of all those past things, of holding things against yourself, of dragging the past with you. Just forgive that. Let that go so that you're not clogged up in there. See yourself as a clear thing for this power to come through without any blockages whatsoever. When you find a blockage, remove it. Remove that negativity. Remove that thought that says you'll never do it. You'll never make it. This is a daydream you're going through. You have to get rid of that. Your mind is always going to be talking to you. It's always going to be talking to you. You're not going to stop mind chatter. But you can change mind chatter so that it talks to you in the proper way. Mm-hmm. But you have to do that. And we are never taught that we can do this. We are never taught that that mind chatter, we take that background noise always as, oh, well, that's just who I am. That little thing that comes up and hits me all the time and tells me I'm no good. Don't do that. I never can do anything right. Say, no. We have to clear that stuff out and say, no, this is coming through. This power is coming through. I say to myself all the time, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know you do, God, so you do it. And you can do it through me. I'll just move myself out of the way. That's the whole idea of surrender. The whole idea of surrender is to surrender yourself to this power. Move yourself out of the way and let it come through. Mm-hmm. And use it for everything, the little things along with the big things. You see, many people just store God away till something big happens, and then they want to drag God out and use it, you know? Yes, this is true, yes.
So, when you said you have a bad, the race mind, to change it, it would be as simple as saying, I have no idea of what I...
Yes, I know
think, but I turn it over to you, and yes. That would do it?
Yes. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know you do, God, so you do it.
And that would fulfill changing it.
Yes. Now, you know, it's very easy to change. It's hard to stay changed. You have to repeat it sometimes so it takes root. Because any belief system that you have, the old belief will always take precedence over a new belief because it's been in there longer. Mm-hmm. So to change it, you have to do it several times, and then it will change. Or, what Jim did last week, his mind all of a sudden put everything together, didn't it? And you had an aha experience. Now, I don't know when you did that, two of them.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Could you actually... feel.
Yeah, I was actually kind of like, you could hear the little tick, 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 bingo.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Because your mind
like came up double sevens or triple sevens.
It makes it, you can feel it making the changes.
Right.
You can actually feel your mind making the changes.
Yep.
And it has to do that because thoughts are running around in your head from synapses, blah, 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 blah. And they actually can see that they make a groove, just like a record. And they just keep running in that same groove. So you have to get a new groove started. You have to bounce that out of there. I just go like that. You know, I go tilt and make it go. But when you have an aha experience, when your mind really figures something out, you can actually feel the clicks going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's finally, because you have everything's placed in there. It's just not connecting.
It's just like it all just meshed.
Yes, it's finally connected, right. Everything connected. Because we have bits and pieces and bits and pieces. And finally, these bits and pieces, they just fit together and you go, oh, that's clear. Yeah. I understand that now. You've done that all your life. You finally, haven't you looked at something maybe since childhood and you never quite understood, and then one day you look at it and you go, oh, that's what that is. You know, and you can, your mind, oh, that's what that is. You can do that. And that's all this teaching is. That's all any teaching is. Is getting all those parts to come together correctly. Because we're not used to using our minds correctly. We're just used to letting them run helter-skelter. And run, yeah, and run right over us all the time. So, think of your mind as a wild horse that has to be tamed. But tame it the way the Indians did. Not the way the white man did, by jumping on its back.
Yeah.
Because it'll throw you right off. It'll throw you right off. Become familiar with it. Gain its trust. And then you'll be able to control your thinking. You'll be able to control your thinking. But start with the premise that you love yourself and that you're going to do that for yourself. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says, what the world says, or what your mind says. You have to know that you love yourself, that you're pleased with yourself, that you appreciate yourself. Don't allow the mind to talk you out of that. What is your mind talking you out of, Jules?
Well,
I saw it.
You see the mind.
Let me just put it this way. I have had a challenging mind week. And so instead of talking about it, I decided to be quiet. Because what was coming out of my mouth or my thoughts would not have been pretty. Mm. So I just decided to not talk about it and not waste the energy on the spouting it out and just sort of holding it. And I'm just not, I haven't reached the other part. I have moments where I'm through the other end, but it's still lots of different mind challenges.
But that's wonderful, because now affirm that you're stronger and that you're going to win. Remember, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of the judge, and you must always win. And that's what's going on right now inside of you.
Mm.
Affirm that you win.
Good.
And you will win. That idea is very good to keep it inside. My father was the one who told me, Dawis, you're always master of the unspoken word. Once your word gets out, you're no longer master of it. You're no longer master of it. So remember, you're master of your unspoken word. It's a wonderful thing. Because we love to just throw stuff out there. Don't do that. Words always go someplace and do something. Words always go someplace and do something. They usually go internally and cause bodily damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's where illness comes from.
What about thoughts?
Thoughts. You can't have a thought without a word. So thoughts and words are the same.
But unspoken words.
Oh, unspoken words. Those thoughts inside of you, they won't do damage to other things, but they'll do damage to you.
I thought you meant... Can you clarify that? I thought you were master of...
You're master.
By not speaking, you're more powerful in public.
By not speaking, you're more powerful in public. And you, once the word is released, you cannot get that word back because it sets up a vibration. That vibration has to go someplace and do something. But if you have thoughts that are going on, those thoughts, to have those thoughts, you are thinking words. And those words now are going internally and doing damage. And the words that he's probably thinking about are all the negative words that come out, all the doubts that come out, all those things that say, maybe you're not good enough, maybe you're only second best, maybe you're less than. These are the things that will destroy you.
So that's the effect on yourself when you hear yourself emitting the negative words.
Yes.
I'm curious about the effect of sharing your positive thoughts with other people who may not.
I've always said don't do that. How many times have I said, if you want something, don't share with people because they'll talk you out of it. Unless it's somebody that you absolutely trust and it's absolutely going to give you the right thing. People will come to me and they'll say, this is my situation. And here's what my friend said. And it makes absolute sense. And I'm going to use this information. And I sit there and I say, huh, have you thought of this one? And they go, oh, no. Because when you get into those situations with people, they're going to go down to the familiar, which is race mind. And they're going to give you, it'll sound absolutely like it's perfect and like it absolutely works. You see, the world teaches you that there are only ever two things going on, two answers to something. It's either right or it's either wrong. You must always remember that there's a third way, and the third way is a God way. And you must always go to the third way. You must always go to the third way. I had a client come, and her friends all told her, you must get rid of your boyfriend, and gave her all the reasons. And she was ready to do it. I said, well, let's look at this. And I listed all the God reasons. They're together today and having a wonderful relationship. That relationship would have been completely gone and over if she had listened to the friends, which gave her very good advice. But it all came from race mind. It all came from race mind. So how do you do that? How do you come up with those things? The first thing, you always have to start with forgiveness. You have to start with forgiveness. Then you move to love, and then you build it right back up again. But when you go with a problem to somebody, they take it down to here, to what they call the bottom line. I build it up, not down. But problems, we always take down, we don't take up. There's always a third way, and it's called a God way. That's why all things are possible.
Well, so when I decided early in the week that I was having these things that were coming up in my mind, and decided that instead of repeating them to several people, to collaborate or to collude with me, and I decided to not do that because it takes up a lot of space, and I haven't resolved them anyway.
Right.
So those thoughts that are happening in my mind, my concern now is that they were doing bad things to me?
No. You have weakened them. Anytime you don't ask other people to join you because you want them to, that you want their thoughts to join your thoughts.
Right.
Now you have a group of thoughts. Now this group of thoughts is so much stronger. But if you keep that thought in, it doesn't have the strength. But anytime we get something, we want to be reassured that we're thinking correctly. Mm-hmm. And we want to get as many people on our side as we possibly can.
And we get talked out of it.
And we have,
Or you get talked into it.
Uh-huh. Because now you have the strength. You have the group.
Mm-hmm. Social evidence.
Yes. It just collects. And now it's collected into this big thing.
So then if it goes wrong, it's their fault.
Yes. But you're very wise because it's not as strong as me to keep it.
That's exactly
okay.
Right. That's right.
But you have to, all, you know, you've heard these sayings all your life. Birds of a feather flock together. All thought patterns of the same vibration have to go to the same place. They have to vibrate together. And they build momentum. They build momentum. How do you think ideas and all that starts? One person gets an idea and they try to convince everybody else of that idea. Then all of a sudden we have this. We have a big thing going on. You know. No, don't. You're all right. You're going to come through it. I can see that.
Yeah.
You're just stubborn. Give up. Just give up.
Well, and part of what you said tonight about giving up the past because some stuff is rising in the from the past, now I understand. I don't have to do that every time.
Yes. All thoughts come from the past. All thoughts come from the past. Now, if you get rid of the past, you would start to have new thoughts. As long as you think you have a past, all things are going to be colored by that past, and all thoughts are going to come from that past. And if you get rid of the past, now you can start to have different and new thoughts about yourself. You see the difference then?
Yeah. And also you said an interesting thing. Birds of a feather
flock together.
But if you're in an environment where you know it's like the coat is a coat of thorns and you don't fit in, I would think I'm bad. I'm less than. I'm deficient. But you said by saying birds of a feather, that has a different spin. It's like it might be a positive to know and recognize I don't. This
absolutely.
My
birds of birds of a feather flock together. Can be positive or negative. They're always going to flock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're always.
And if they all flock together and you're the lone wolf, maybe it just means you don't belong.
Absolutely,
it
you do not belong.
You're wrong.
It does not be unbelievable. Well, no. It does not. But when you see 10 people doing one thing and you're not doing it, then you say, your mind tells you, you must be wrong. Wasn't it Kipling who said, if you can keep your head when all else are losing theirs around you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be like not everybody wants to come and do this teaching, but obviously these us here believe that there's some truth in this. And that's why we're here. We're flocking together for positive, in my opinion. And if you didn't get it and you thought you'd leave, you know, leave the room like people have and go, wow, what are those people doing in there?
They're crazy.
Especially with the little I matter now.
Yeah. It's absolutely true. If you're not ready for this teaching, you will not hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, what I'm talking sounds like a bunch of babble, and it sounds like, oh my God, that can't be. He's a nutcase. But change some truth. All truth is in this teaching.
Oh.
It's not some. We don't teach just some truth. You
right.
want some truth, go to a brand name church. You'll get some truth. Here, we teach all truth. Teach all truth.
It's all God.
And what is that truth?
It's all God.
It's all God. And you are worthy, deserving, lovable, and that you matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.